This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seriously, God, that one hurt badly. Still hurting. 12, 13 hours after it happened? 14 hours? 13 and a half hours after it happened? Good morning, I guess. Chris is in for Denton. Denton's off in Austin, Texas, having a bachelor weekend. He gets married next month. Not next month. April. Early April. You've got to be kidding me. 65 feet? Seriously? Look, I'm going to get to the thoughts on this game. Some of you, by the way, are just the worst. Oh, I tuned into my first Maryland game because Sheehan's been building him up and it wasn't anything like he described. You're right. It wasn't last night anything like what I've described. You've missed it. But I think it'll come back. Michigan State deserved to win the game. I will start with that. That shot, by the way, was not the Corey Lucius shot in terms of pain inflicted from the 2010 tournament when Draymond Green threw a pass over Summer's head as he ducked and Corey Lucius knocked down a three-point game-winning second-round NCAA tournament dagger to end the careers of Gravis Vasquez, Eric Hayes, and Landon Milbourne for a team that looked like it was poised to make a deep run. The whole draw had opened up. Michigan State went on to the Final Four. The winner of that game was probably going to go on to the Final Four, and Michigan State hit that shot. That's probably the most devastating Maryland loss of my adult life. As a child, when they lost NC State in the ACC final in the classic 74 ACC final, that was devastating. But what Corey Lucius did to us 15 years ago, this coming March, was horrible. And by the way, did you know, Maryland fans, that last night was the first game-winning shot at the buzzer that Michigan State has had since the Corey Lucius buzzer beater in 2010. You know, Maryland's had a couple against them, too. Mello hit a three to beat them in College Park. Anthony Cowan, what he did to Michigan State in East Lansing back in 2020 with the three threes in the final, you know, minute and a half, it wasn't buzzer beater, but it was an incredible moment. Look, Maryland does not have a rival in the Big Ten. That's one of the big issues with Maryland basketball. I mean, there are a lot of deep-seated issues, and it's a long conversation as to what Maryland basketball is today versus what it was when Gary was here. And by the way, the team was in the ACC. You know, there's a lot there. But one of the real stark differences is that Maryland doesn't have rivals in basketball. Maryland is a basketball-first school. There are, what, a dozen of them in the Power Four? Maybe not even a dozen in the Power Four. We're basketball for the students and the alums. And by the way, the market in general has always been more important than football. Doesn't mean that football isn't important to a Maryland fan and a Maryland alum and a lifelong Maryland, you know, person. They've had great runs in football. Bobby Ross, Ralph Regan, and Locks has had some success. I mean, they won three straight bowl games after being essentially a near-dead program. He resurrected it. But Maryland's a basketball-first school. Everybody knows that. And anybody that would say the opposite is an idiot. And but the program has changed. And one of the reasons it's changed is it doesn't have a rival. In the ACC, obviously Duke was a massive rival, but so were North Carolina, Virginia, NC State. There was a long 60-year tradition of playing these schools. And it wasn't all 60 years where it mattered. But pretty much from the 1970s until Maryland left the ACC, I was looking at, you get stuff on social media, and Cliff Tucker, God rest his soul because he passed away a few years ago, Cliff Tucker hit an unbelievable buzzer-beating shot to beat Georgia Tech 15 years ago during that 2010 season. It was Georgia Tech, okay? The place was packed to the rafters. Now, Maryland was ranked. They were a really good team. That was the year that Gravis Vasquez won ACC Player of the Year, and Maryland shared with Duke an ACC championship regular season. That's also the year they got knocked out in the second round by Michigan State. And Corey Lucius. But the stretch there, they had games against Clemson and Georgia Tech. I mean, the place, it was impossible to get into the joint. And those weren't really perceived rivals, but you still had a history with those teams. So now we've been in the Big Ten for 11 years, and we've played in some pretty big games, and we've finished very high in the Big Ten and won or shared in a Big Ten regular season title in 2020. But over the course of time, and I've mentioned this when, you know, Turge and his run ended, Mark Turgeon was the winningest coach in the Big Ten when he was the coach of Maryland in the Big Ten. He was the third winningest coach behind Izzo and Matt Painter. All right, Maryland won a lot in the Big Ten. A lot in the regular season. Not enough in the Big Ten tournament. Understood. Not enough in the NCAA tournament. I get it. But Maryland's been a very strong addition to Big Ten basketball, but still, it does not have a rival. But I'll tell you what, man. For me, over the years, and part of it is some of the games they played when they weren't in, you know, conference matchup games. Maryland's played Michigan State, and they played them a lot prior to joining the Big Ten. They played them in the 2003 NCAA tournament as the defending champs. Maryland is the last team currently in the Big Ten to have won a national championship. That's right. Not one Big Ten team has won a national championship since Maryland won in 2002. Obviously, Maryland was an ACC school. The Big Ten team that last won a title that's always been a Big Ten team was Michigan State when they won it in 2000, right? 2000. And then Duke won it in 01. Maryland won it in 02. But in the 2003 defending championship season, Maryland lost in the Sweet 16 to Michigan State on a shot with 4.7 seconds to go, and then Blake had a wide-open look from three, you know, about 6-7 feet behind the three-point line, but a pull-up three at the buzzer to move Maryland to the Elite Eight as the defending champs, and it was just a bit long and off. And then Maryland met Michigan State again in the tournament in 2010 and lost on a buzzer beater. And then Maryland's first game in the Big Ten was at Michigan State in December of 2014. Dez Wells hit an impossible shot at the buzzer in regulation to force overtime. Maryland won in double overtime. They've had a lot of games against Michigan State that have felt big. They've played them twice in the Big Ten semifinals, lost both of them. Mello beat them at the buzzer. Cowan had the memorable finish. One of the all-time regular season memorable finishes was Anthony Cowan in East Lansing in February of 2020. You know, the season that last for Maryland had a chance to really go a long way. The next year they lost in the second round. 2 years ago they lost in the second round. Both to Bama, by the way. The one team in the Big Ten that I have as a lifelong Terp that I have just a little bit of a feeling for is Michigan State. Now, do I think they feel the same way about Maryland? No. We're newcomers still. 11 years into this thing, we are still newcomers. That league, look, this is not specific to Maryland. This is happening everywhere, right? With all of the conference changes and reshuffling, rivalries have been lost everywhere, and the feelings of fans towards the games they play are different. They just are. You know, sorry. But Iowa on a Sunday afternoon in 2025 isn't the same, apparently, as Georgia Tech was in 2010. You've been playing Georgia Tech for 30 years. So, last night, though, man, you know, I've heard the game already described in so many different ways. Certainly was not an expected style of play. You know, these were two high-flying, high-scoring teams. Both good defensive teams. Don't get me wrong. Both of these teams were good defensive teams coming in. Michigan State was on a roll. Maryland was on a roll. This was one of the bigger games here in February in the Big Ten. There are more to come, and really the big game is now Michigan State, Michigan to end the season. That game will be in East Lansing. I think Michigan State's better than Michigan. They went on the road Friday night and beat them there. But the style of that game last night, wow, was that a defensive game, man. That was outstanding defensive basketball. If you want to describe it as terrible offensive basketball, what are you talking about? These two teams are great on offense. That was incredible defense. And that's where I would start on the game last night. And by the way, if you want to weigh in on last night's Maryland-Michigan State game, if you were there, I was there last night. The atmosphere was fabulous, fabulous. But 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, if you want to jump on and give any thoughts about what you saw last night with Maryland's loss to Michigan State on a 65-foot three-pointer by Trey Holloman at the buzzer. But here's where I would start. Michigan State deserved the game. They were the better team last night. They were the better defensive team of two teams that played excellent defense. Man, their pick-and-roll defense was outstanding. They are deeper than Maryland. They have a star in Jace Richardson. There's no doubt about that. He is, as a freshman, he is now really starting to come into his own. And I think truly is one of the stars and one of the freshman stars in the game. Their freshman star, Jace Richardson, actually played better than Maryland's freshman star, Derek Queen. Derek Queen looked a little tight. Maryland looked tight early on. You know, the place was electric. I give everybody a lot of credit last night. The 6:30 starts are the worst. They should not schedule 6:30 starts. Maryland, well, until the LA teams moved in to the Big Ten, was the only major metropolitan market in the Big Ten where you had legitimate, sizable fan base, you know, reaction. Rutgers, you know, that's, by the way, that's not New York metro, obviously. It's Jersey. Northwestern is in Chicago or in a suburb of Chicago, but they have a smaller gym. It's not the same thing. And it's really hard. You know, it was an hour and 20 minutes for me from Upper Northwest to get to College Park. Walked in shortly after tip. I mean, but the place was, the students did a phenomenal job. Most of you understand this. I've talked about it for years if you're not familiar with it, but Maryland people are. There really isn't, other than maybe a big Caps playoff game, there's no other atmosphere in town that matches College Park for a big Maryland basketball game when they're good. And they've got a big-time opponent, and it's a big-time game. And last night, the atmosphere did not disappoint. Was it the best I've ever seen there? No. Because there wasn't, you know, you didn't have a lot of the runs. It was a grinded-out game. But first, Michigan State was awesome defensively. They were really good. They're deeper. They have seven-footers. They have big dudes that can move. I thought their pick-and-roll defense, every time, whether it was Gillespie or Miguel or Rice, the way they ran guys back towards half court in their pick-and-roll defense, I thought was outstanding. I thought their post-defense was outstanding on Reese, on Queen. This was not a great game for either one of Maryland's big men. Each of the two big guys turned the ball over three times. Michigan State's defense forced a lot of that. You know, Rodney Rice really, more than anybody else, kept Maryland close, although I give Maryland's defense a ton of credit. I thought Michigan State missed more easy shots than Maryland did. I thought more of Maryland's shots were contested. Fewer of the Michigan State shots, a lot of them were contested. I thought Maryland played outstanding defense too. These two teams combined to go 8 for 35 from behind the arc. I would say of those 35 attempts, I would say every bit of three quarters of them were contested in a major way. Michigan State won the basketball game shooting 33.8% from the field. What does that mean? Well, it means either Maryland stunk on offense or Michigan State was great on defense, or a combination of both. I think it was more Michigan State was great on defense. Every single one of those guys defend. I've always loved Izzo. Anybody that's ever listened to me over the years, you know how much I think Izzo is the best that there. He and Painter have been the two best in the league. And I just love the grittiness and the toughness of Michigan State year in and year out. I mean, you can't play for that dude unless you are tough. And they've got another tough team, even though it's not a star-laden team. Although Richardson, and apparently he was cramping up at the end and, you know, he's coming in and out. But I thought Michigan State's defense and their offensive rebounding were the two difference makers in the game. I give them much more of the credit for the win than Maryland not playing well or being off offensively for the loss. Now, from a Terp standpoint, excellent defensively much of the night. Now, towards the second half, whether it was Akins or whether it was Richardson or whether it was Fears or whether it was Holloman himself, they were getting a bit too close inside the paint. You know, getting the matchups they wanted, getting defenders on their back, getting close to the rim. They missed some of those shots. I also thought Maryland got the benefit of a ton of calls down the stretch. I mean, they came back from 55-48 down at the free throw line, and a couple of those calls were questionable, including after the turnover on the press, where Rodney Rice did a good job of picking off that pass by Holloman. And then Gillespie got fouled by Holloman. That looked like a clean pick. I watched the game back when I got home last night, as painful as that was. But I thought that Maryland did a nice job. You know, Maryland shot 31.3% from the floor. This is a very good shooting team. They shot 20% from behind the arc. They've been shooting at 46% recently. They were 4 for 20. So for them to have the ball in their hands at the end of the game with the clock winding down and the score tied, that's a testament that they were still in that game despite not being able to score for the first time, you know, in months, really since the Washington game. Now, the end. Maryland gets the stop, and Gillespie has the ball, and there is no doubt that he took the shot too early. With that said, I'm not going to kill him for this. You know, you lost on a 60 to 65 foot shot at the buzzer. You know, sure, if he takes that shot 1 second later, there's no opportunity for that. But let me just tell you, Gillespie didn't have a clean look the entire night. That was about as clean a look as he got. I would have preferred that he drive the ball in that situation. He had been, you know, feasting at the free throw line. They had given him a bunch of calls. There was an opportunity to drive the basketball. But we've seen, you know, Gillespie's an excellent shooter. An excellent shooter. And we've seen game winners, Mello and Cowan, guys in that building pull up and take deep threes. And sometimes you're like, what? And then they knock it down. In the moment when Gillespie took it, now it was a frenzy after Maryland got the stop. You know, I didn't really see that he took it with 4.8 or went into the motion, you know, at five left. Obviously, hindsight, you know, being 2020, you certainly would have loved him to have driven the ball. First of all, that takes a little bit more time. You got a chance to get fouled. You got a chance to get Miguel's defender to, you know, slough off, and you can make that play to Miguel. It seemed, though, really, when you consider what you watched last night, that was about as open a look as Gillespie had. I can't kill him for that. 60 feet, by the way, from I had the perfect angle. I saw when it left his hands that it was good if it went, because I saw that the clock still was, you know, tenths of seconds left. And right when it left his hand, because I was kind of at a kind of behind him or at an angle, but behind him, but I could see it was online. And then you still don't expect it to go in. But it did. And the Terps lost. Look, this is still a good basketball team. I watched Izzo's press conference late last night. You know, Izzo doesn't really do what Krzyzewski used to do, which was obnoxious. You know, when Duke would come in and win, you know, a hard-fought, close game in front of that kind of a crowd, Krzyzewski would tell everybody how great Juan Dixon was and Steve Blake and Gary's the best and the crowd is phenomenal and the whole thing and how great Maryland is. I mean, that was his MO. I mean, he would just completely, you know, bathe the opponent that he just beat in flowers afterwards. That's not Izzo's style at all. But Izzo said last night, quote, this team is going to win a lot of games. It's a really good basketball team. And it is. It was an odd way that the way the game unfolded. Remember, in these conference games, even though Maryland hasn't played Michigan State this year, they're very familiar with one another. The coaching in the Big Ten, I've been talking about this for years, is so good, and teams are so well scouted. And so there's a lot of that in these games, especially when you get late in the year and you got a lot of tape. You know, everybody knows what you're running. It's different in the NCAA tournament, especially in the early rounds. Two good basketball teams last night. Not the prettiest of games, because it felt very much like a rock fight. But man, if you like defense, it was excellent. I thought Maryland's defense was outstanding. I thought Michigan State's defense was incredible, because Maryland's been impossible to guard for basically 6-7 weeks. Impossible to guard. All right, if you want to weigh in, 301-230-0980. What's your takeaways from Maryland's loss to Michigan State? Was this some sort of wake-up call as to, well, they're going to get beat up by, you know, a physical, aggressive, long, athletic, deep kind of a team? Or was it just one night? 301-230-0980, your calls next. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.